So we don't come to the presence of God. Amen. We come with the presence of God. It says, I will live in you, I will walk in you. That's Jeremiah speaking, right? I will be your God and you will be my people, right? Amen. I'll be your God and you will be my people. So the presence of God is where the believer is. God is not any other place than in the believer. He dwells in him. You know, he told Solomon, even Solomon acknowledged that even if he builds the best of best temples, that he knows that it will not fit in for God. You know, in Acts chapter 7, Stephen defends that God cannot dwell in temples made with hands. Acts 17, Paul says, don't you think that the one that made the whole world cannot be in things that are made, man-made? He cannot dwell in things that are made by human beings, right? So, you know, the scriptures tells us in 1 Corinthians 6, says, do you not know that you yourselves are the temple? You know why? Because the Jews, they built a temple to typify where God dwells. But God now says, you are the temple. You are that actual temple. Hebrews chapter 9 says, he built a temple not made with hands. All right? It says, the Spirit, him through the Spirit, right, he has chosen to now dwell in us. So God dwells in us right now and dwells also. As we come as believers, we come with the presence of God. Amen. We come with the presence of God. Let's just say prayer together. Father, we thank you for such a time as this. Receive from you this evening. Let your word be taught with power. Let your glory be revealed. Let your son be glorified. Let us be edified. We decree that we will be edified and you, Jesus, will be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Are you happy to be in God's presence? Amen. So you now understand what that means, right? So it's not like you're coming. You know, you're coming to receive. Coming. Yes, we are coming to receive. Not like we are just coming as empty, right? We are coming with. Hallelujah. So you, the temple of God where God dwells, comes to where I am, right? And then another person comes to where we are, and then everybody comes together. We come with God's presence. We come with God's power. Imagine if we all come together and just begin to edify one another because we have God's indwelling spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. We started tonight's teaching, by the way. Look at 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 23. Look at 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 23. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. Give me a second, please. Look at verse 26. All right. Or let's start from verse 24. Let's start from verse 24. It says, but if all prophesy... Okay, let's start from 23. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place... I'm reading 1 Corinthians 14:23. It says, and all speak with tongues, and there come in one that is unlearned, or someone that is uninformed about the gift of tongues, or unbelievers. It says, will they not say that you are insane? But if all prophesy, there come in one that believeth not, or one that is unlearned, right, or uninformed. He is convinced of all, or convinced by all, and he is judged of all. So prophecy means something that you can understand. Verse 25 and 26, it says, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face he will worship God and reports that God is in you of a truth. Verse 26, it says, how is it then, look at this, brethren, that's believers, right, those who are informed about the gift of the tongue, it says, when you come together, everyone, see that, has a tongue. Has a psalm, that's a song, right? Everyone has a doctrine, right? Everyone has a tongue, everyone has revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done to the edifying. So we're going to take 1 minute, we can't take 1 minute now, just take 5 minutes. You know, some of us just edify one another. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just take it. 5 minutes, we edify one another. So just give us 30 seconds to speak in tongues. Just pray in tongues right now where you are. If you're in a place where it's noisy, I would encourage you to just excuse yourself a little bit. But if you can, just open your mouth right now. Let's just pray in the Holy Ghost and then edify one another, because we all have something, because we are God's dwelling place. Amen. So let's pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen. La toje prekina mantalika. O pro shike tafrata poska tiska toska tapare katoshe pre katosh. Hallelujah. We are still praying. Pray more. Mambro shekele praga da bola de kisa petisa banaga la bala de kele balosho ketisa katiga sakara baliga da bolo gorega de ba. Shembro shita so sa se sa so. Papabosh. Efrata pakataleka. Erekeka. Whoa. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Are you praying? Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Everyone, amen. 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 Hallelujah. Glory to the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, what we want to do, just because of the limitations of online meeting, thank God. Okay, let's not say that on here. But we're going to minister to one another right now. Well, remember what I always tell you guys? I say when you want to minister, sometimes it can just be a, you know, what is God saying? Don't try to think too far. What's that impression that comes to your heart? Amen? What's that impression that comes to your heart? You just pray for that person. You just say it. That impression. It can also be the scripture. You just remind somebody the scripture. Right? Now, we can also sing songs. We can just say, oh, I just want to sing a song. By the Spirit, you just flow. Because you are born of God. You can sing the word of God. You know, gospel songs are the gospel song. That's what it is. Nothing deep. You know, these days when I tell people that, oh, they say, who composed this song? I say, I don't know how to answer that question, because every believer can compose a song. There's nothing unique about the ability to compose songs as a believer. Every believer can. Right? Amen. Even Oliver can. All right. Okay. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Now what we're going to do right now is, I'll minister to Joel first. I'll minister to Joel, and then Joel, you minister to me. Amen. So it doesn't matter what you have to say. You can say the word of God. You can say whatever impression that comes to your heart. Right? So we exercise this gift so you get better. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Brother Joel, Mando Zuka, Ejiguza Tavra Kadoja, Kila Bagatoja, Zenko Bragatoja, Gabaroga Zuka Pada, Juju Kwataka Doska. The Lord is your protection and your shield. Your Lord is, no, God is saying that, you know, there's been this term of fear that you've had quite, I think, somewhere very recently, or maybe sometimes some days ago or previous times. Fear. Do not fear. God has gone before you, and He would not let you, those fears, to become a reality. Those things that you are scared of. Yeah, the Lord will keep you. He will keep you. Yeah, you will smile. Yeah, there's no part of disadvantage for you, brother. Oh, God has we. God will bring your desires to your reality in the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah, I just felt that in my spirit. I just saw that. I just sensed that by God's Spirit. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now I'll give you just. You can just minister to me. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. I can hear you. I can hear you. Amen.
Yeah, you have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. Everything you do well, you do excellently, you do to perfection. Don't be scared of taking the risks, taking
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. All right. I think the others are having some kind of issues with their network. All right. Let's just, Father, we thank you for your word. We give you praise. Glory and honor be unto you forevermore and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. You know, that's God's word. That's God's spirit for you. You know, when we speak as people that are born, we speak, Peter said, we do not use cunningly devised fables. We are not believing in something that is untrue or just a myth or something, mythical, you know, a make-believe or something like that. It is the facts. It is true. You know, recently, I will not go into details, but recently I had a very serious sensation about somebody to pray for them, for him and the people that he was connected to. And we did some amount of days of prayers for them. We did the amount of prayers, and the last day of the prayer, now that prayer was for protection from harm. It was so specific. We called out certain people in the amongst his network that were experiencing that same thing, and they confirmed that they were experiencing that same thing. But then after the end of the prayers, what God showed us to confirm that we were not wasting our time was that they were actually attacked. One of them or two of them or so were attacked, and God delivered them from death. The person that attacked one of them had a knife. He actually stabbed the person, but the person did not die. Right? The person did not die. That was literally the last day of the prayers. Right? After we have given thanks, thank God for his protection. But it was a sensation that we had in our spirit. And then after that, we encouraged them. But you see, that's the truth of the matter. God, what we are doing, we are not wasting our time. It will be so risky for me and so foolish and insincere for me to think that God or Christianity or Jesus is a myth. It will be so insincere of me and so careless of me. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. You know, in our series, we are talking about evangelism, talking about not just evangelism, we're talking about the abilities that God has given to us as believers. Let me just quickly see if I can get on to. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Let me see if I can get to Bianca quickly. You know, some of these things I say here, I try to remove them from the actual recording so that people will not hear this thing. Amen. All right. Amen. Amen. Yep. Yeah, definitely. Network. Oh, dear Lord. You guys should help yourselves with this network thing. All right. So, yes. Amen. Now, we have been looking at the abilities of evangelism. And last week was very critical, the things that we addressed. We addressed the fact that God has sent us, firstly, as apostles or as disciples. Yeah, apostles. We are sent to win souls by the preaching of the gospel. And that when we are sent, by God's instructions. We are sent with God's own instructions. We are not sent to just do whatever you want to do. We are actually sent with specific instructions, specific templates on which we should follow or use in evangelism. So evangelism is, number one, is our obligation. And number two, evangelism comes with specific instructions. Not just instructions now. Also, evangelism comes with specific abilities. Comes with specific abilities to aid the evangelism. The abilities. Then the last one is that evangelism also is a product of being born again. It's a product of being born again. If you look at Genesis 1, verse 26, it says, let us make man in our own image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over every fish of the sea, over fowl of the air, every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. And let them have dominion and, right, dominion over everything. So it then says, let them be fruitful and multiply. We said that when Moses wrote that, let them be fruitful and multiply, it didn't refer to childbirth, right? But it referred to the multiplication of men that would be in the image of God, which is to be born again or to be in Christ, because Christ is the image of God. Colossians 1 verse 15, who is the image of the visible God? Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, the image of the invisible God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4, who is the image of the invisible God? All right, so we have the scriptures telling us that Christ is the image of God. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, if any man be in the image of God, he's a new creature. If any man be in Christ. So that text in Genesis 1 verse 26 refers to something that could only happen when a man receives Christ. The image of God is to be in Christ. So when God says be fruitful, it means that man that has dominion. Hebrews 2 verse 9, it says, we see what is man that God that has made mindful of. Hebrews chapter 2 from verse 6, what is man? For as one says in a certain place, what is man that is mindful of him? For that has made him, for that has given power over everything that you have created. I'm paraphrasing. That has given power over everything that you have created. However, we do not see these things yet, but we see Jesus. So Jesus was made a little lower than the angels for the sufferings, right? Of the sufferings and death, crowned with glory and honor. So we now see that that dominion in Genesis would only be actualized, realized, exerted by the man that is in that image, which means the man will first be in Christ, because we do not see that dominion yet, but we see Jesus. So that means Jesus is that dominion. So when God says go and multiply, he refers to believers. Let them multiply in that image of God's kingdom. So the kingdom of God is not a place. The kingdom of God is a state, or it's a functionality. It's called, using the New Testament, is the word basileia, right? It means reign, the reign of God. It's actually in men's hearts. There's a kingdom of this world which is ruled by carnality and a life out of God, and then there's a kingdom of God which is in Christ, which is ruled by his spirit. John chapter 18, Jesus said to Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. All right? Okay? If it were so, I would have sent my servants to rescue me. That means the way the kingdom of God flows is in opposition to the train of how the kingdom of this world flows. That means when we are told to extend God's kingdom on earth, we are not necessarily going to be flowing in the same vein of the kingdom of this world. So when you are flowing with God's instruction, you are following something that is alien to this world. That is why it's called a new creation. The word new there means it's something that has never existed before. So you are following a new trend, something that is opposing. It just seems to be I'm trying to find the scientific term for it. It just seems like an opposing reaction, something like that. Physics will say opposite poles attract, but you know, in this one, the opposing poles don't attract. Hallelujah. But you see, we are in an opposing pole. We do not flow in the same way, in the same direction, right? We flow exclusively with God's own power. Right? That's why when you see things like new spirits, it's not the same as the spirit of the world. Right? New creation. The nature of that man is not like the one of the world. Right? New, what again? New wine, new birth, new tongues. Amen? It's not like the tongues of the world. That's why when somebody says, tongues is human language, the person does not understand what it means, new tongues. Doesn't understand what it means, new tongues. You know, when somebody says that tongues is human language, I always ask them a question that makes them to forget what's going on. When they say, tongues is human language, I then ask them, so what is prophecy? It always ends there. It does not continue. It cannot continue. It can't even continue. Hallelujah. Oh, wow. What happened to my Zoom? Amen, amen. Let me pause this record. Amen. I often say that what is prophecy? And when I ask them this question, they do not know what to say. Why? Because prophecy already means that somebody somewhere on this world will be able to understand what you are saying. So if you then define tongues as something that you can understand, it then negates your original meaning of prophecy. So that means tongues and prophecy cannot both be understood by men. So tongues, by implication, cannot be a human language, because if somebody who is Chinese comes to your church when you are speaking Chinese by the Holy Ghost, if that person can understand you, that person is already flowing in the gift of the Spirit, which means the person is interpreting your tongue, because interpretation of tongues is an ability of God's Spirit. It is not something that a human being, a multilingualist, can do, right? So if I understand what you are saying, you cannot be speaking in tongues. The problem is with Acts 2, but that's later on. We're going to look at that yet again. So everything that comes with the new creation or with evangelism comes against the trend or the direction of this world. You find out that in the book of Acts, as the disciples of Jesus were persecuted, the Bible says they rejoiced because they were counted worthy to suffer for the Lord. That is, it doesn't make sense. When you are beaten, you should feel bad. You should regret. But when the disciples of Christ were beaten, they rejoiced. Those are not people that didn't understand what they were doing. These are people that are grounded in the word, grounded in prayers, grounded in depth. They have depth. These are people that they have got substance, depth. They have a thick skin in the revelation of Christ. Amen. Amen. That's why, as a believer, if you are not being trained, you would not maximize your new birth. Some believers, when something earthly happens to them, they just lose all faith in God. That means you are yet to get more depth. When you find something that happens to you in the physical affects your spiritual life, it means you are yet to get more depth. Right? That's the truth. In the day of adversity, if your strength fails, it means you do not have much strength. That's the truth. Amen. So that's why, as believers, when you are evangelizing, you don't use earthly things to build spiritual temples. You don't. You don't use earthly apparatuses to achieve spiritual virtue. You don't. It's spiritual that should be built with spiritual, because even the temple of God was not made with hands. So we said last week, when you think that you can use comedy, entertainment, music to evangelize, you are substituting what is true for what looks like is true. You know, someone would call it substituting gold for brass. A material of less quality, you want to trade it for the same quality of that which is worth it, which is gold. And that is bad. We cannot use entertainment to do it. We have to use it by the Spirit. We go by the Spirit. The song that we are about to, you know, release and all of that, to send out, the song says, Lord, we overcome by your Spirit. All right? We overcome by your Spirit. The scripture says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith God. It's by the Spirit of God, by his word. Look at John. Look at the book of John, chapter 6. Let's look at the book of John. But before that, let's look at Matthew's gospel. You know, we will never skip Matthew's gospel. Egadabo shakata likata. Makata brubrushkata. You know, some of you, I didn't minister to you guys. You ran away when the Lord was moving. Egadabo shaka. You ran away with the presence of God. Amen. Glory to God. Now the Lord has brought you back. Now look at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. Amen. Are you there? Verse 17, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, that's word authority, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples. The word teach there is the word matheteo in the Greek. It means to make disciples, to educate people, right? To educate, like a school. So Jesus asked them to educate. It's as simple as that. Right? All nations. Pay attention to this. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Right? Now, it's not saying water baptism. You put them in water. The name of the Father. The name of the Son. They did that to me. The name of the Holy Ghost. No. What's the name of the Father? What's the name of the Son? The gospel of Christ. That he died and resurrected. That Jesus is Lord. That's the name of the Father. That's baptism. Baptism of Jesus. Look at Acts chapter 8. Look, Acts 11. We'll get back to this. Look at Acts 11 quickly. The baptism of Jesus is spiritual. It's not water baptism. Look at Acts chapter 11, verse 16. Right? Or let's start from verse... Okay, let's start from verse 13, right? And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men unto Joppa. This is Peter's encounter, by the way. Peter, Apostle Peter. Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy household shall be saved. Look at this. Verse 15. And as I began, that's Peter now saying, as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us in the beginning. That's, he fell upon Gentiles, people that were non-Jews. Verse 16. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with what? Water. But you shall be baptized with what? The Holy Ghost. If you look at John chapter 1 verse 31, it says, I indeed baptize with water. Right? Okay, John explains how that he baptized with water because Jesus was yet to come. So water baptism was not an instruction by Jesus Christ. Let's go back to Matthew's Gospel 28. So it says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, verse 19, Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, verse 20 says, teaching is the word mathetes, right? Teaching them to observe. Now, the word observe there means to follow. It means to go by the same principle. It means to abide by the principle. As you are giving instructions in an exam hall, they said, make sure that you answer at least three questions, right? Three questions. Make your choice of three questions. So, that is the same word observe. That is, you have to follow it seriously. You have to do what he asked you to do and not something that he never told you to do. So we are asked to obey. He says, the things I have commanded you. That word commanded means the things I have taught you. The instructions I've given unto you. You have to abide by them. We have to abide by them. Right? So if I'm doing something today that Jesus did not do, or Jesus did not teach, or that the apostles did not do, or the apostles did not teach, then I'm not following, I'm not doing what he asked me to do. I'm living outside the world. I'm like, it doesn't matter the results. Okay, let's get to that. No matter what it is, right? If I don't do what God asked me to do, then I'm walking in vain. Look, so it says, teaching them to observe all things are what I've commanded you. And look, so that means there is also a template for us to follow. That means we are not allowed to innovate as believers when we evangelize. We are not allowed to innovate as believers. Right? We are not allowed to do that. So we are simply allowed to, we must ask a question. If I'm teaching a topic, or let's say I'm going on evangelism, I shouldn't be found thinking, how do I win souls now? How do I, I don't like all this preaching. You know, people don't really like preaching because it's too boring or it's too it's too direct. We need to use a more subtle approach, a more indirect approach. We have to try something much more subtle, like serpents, eh? Like the devil. He then say, okay, instead of saying, I want to introduce to you God's kingdom. I want to introduce to you what the Father that created the whole world, the plan he has for you. You are not born here just to go to work, live, eat, die. That's not what you're born for. You have once asked yourself this question. Why was I born on this earth? And I have the answer to you. A man named Jesus came to reveal the Creator's purpose for us, which was for us to have a relationship with our Creator by his Son Jesus, whom he sent to die for us. We were in sin, about to die. We were in disadvantage, but he gave us an advantage and a deliverance from that which held us bound. And he gave us deliverance by his resurrection and forgiveness of sins. His name is Jesus. If you are accepting today, you would receive the life of God in your heart. You would know the Father. You would do this. You would do that. You begin to preach the gospel. You say, instead of doing that, I would just organize a carnival. Let's not call the carnival Jesus evangelism. Let's call it youth get together. That's good. You see, God is not religious. We can begin to use our minds to excuse ourselves, knowing that we don't have any scriptural basis for that. So say, because the Paul said, I become all things to all men, that I might by some means mean by all means may win some. We then use scriptures to justify our erroneous practice. Paul didn't mean that he can do anything just so, right? They can win souls. Hallelujah. Paul never did that. So you begin to think, oh, wow. Instead of preaching, we don't need to do all of that. Let's just organize it like a nightclub. Let's start a nightclub. Hallelujah. Let's start a nightclub. Let's know when the people of the world, they don't really like spiritual thing. No, you know, we have to be loving. We have to be loving. We have to be loving to them. Right? And then your definition or demonstration of love is an erroneous practice. Right? Is disobedience. If your practice of love is disobedient, then that is not love. Scripture says teaching the truth in love. So it is when you teach the truth, it is the love. So you then say, okay, when they come together, they pray, party, you know, give them whatever they want. Jesus will just look at you and say, this one is not my own. This is the one that will say, Lord, but we prophesied in your name. And I will say, I never knew you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't take that too seriously, by the way. If someone is born again, the person is eternally saved. Amen. But you see, some people are not even saved. That's the problem. That's the problem. So Jesus never knew them. Praise God. So that's the thing about it. So when you go with those worldly apparatuses, what happens is that you win people that have a wrong mind. You think you've converted them. You think they are born again. But no, they actually bought your market. They bought your market. That's what they did. Because you are trying to market something else that's not Christ. If you are preaching the gospel, let them hear the word. Because even the world does not try to become spiritual for them to win you. They are the world. We do not have to be, Romans 12, be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. So for a man's mind to be renewed, for a believer's mind to be renewed, right? He has to be transformed by the renewing of the mind in the word of God. How much more an unbeliever? If you, a believer, needs the word to be renewed, how much more an unbeliever? Right? Would you use Would you say, I've got a motorcycle, so I'll just use water to drive the motorcycle. I'm not going to use fuel, right? When I want to use fuel, when I want to use my car, I can use fuel. No, both of them need it. If a car would need it, how much more a motorcycle that runs with an engine? Hallelujah. Praise God. That's just an analogy anyway, by the way. First, I just want to say, what about bicycle and scooter and all that? Okay, good. That's your cup of tea. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. So what we say in Matthew's gospel. So let's look at John chapter 6. Look at verse 44. Now, this is after Jesus had just fed the 5,000. We are familiar with that. He had just fed the 5,000, right? And then he travels to somewhere else, and then they follow him because of the bread and all of that. So let's see what Jesus said in verse 46. All right, let's not start from verse 46. Let's see where we can, let's backtrack a little bit just so we can get more context. Look at verse 24, right? Let's read verse 24. Let's start from verse 24. Verse 24 says, "When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not where he was before, neither his disciples, they also went into boats and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus." Verse 25. "And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither?" That's an old English word that means, when did you come here to Capernaum? "Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not, not because of you saw the signs, but because of the loaves, and you were filled." So that means people often follow you for the first reason that you brought them. If it was music used, that's why they're there. That's why they're there. Do not for once assume that they are there because of the word. Don't ever think that. Do not. Amen. Now look at verse 27. It says, "Labor not for the meats," that's for the food, "which perisheth, but for the meat, the food which endures everlasting, unto everlasting," that is everlasting food, "which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him had God the Father sealed." Now look at verse 28. "And they said unto him, What shall we do that we might do the works of God? Oh God, you have given us so much bread. You want the everlasting bread, you give us what shall we do? Let's get that work. Let's do the works of God. Yeah, you like that bread, right? You like that bread, right? You like the bread. Jesus, what shall we do so that we can do God's work? We want to do that. We want that everlasting bread. Then Jesus said unto them," look at verse 29. It says, "Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent." Whoa. And I'm sure they're like, "Huh? I thought you just said food." He said, "Believe." Then Jesus knew that they did not understand. So verse 30, let's read on. It says, "Then they said therefore unto him, What sign?" They are not communicating at this point anymore. Look at, they say, "What sign," that's "what miracle would you perform, so that when we see, we are going to believe? What is that work?" They need something. So look at verse 34, 31. "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert." See, they're thinking of bread. See, "as it is written, he gave them bread to eat." So they are thinking, "Where is that bread? Give us that everlasting bread, so we'll eat it and we'll believe you. We know that you are a good person. You are a charitable person. This is the kind of Christianity we are talking about." No, people often say that. This is the kind of, when they see a Christian that is doing something that is philanthropic, they say, that is Christianity. Not all this doctrine. Well, philanthropy, or let's just say humanism, is part of human nature. And giving and helping the poor and the needy is part of Christian doctrine. right? However, that is called the fruit of the Spirit. It's not what saves. It's not the instruction for evangelism. It should not even be a strategy for evangelism. Charitable deeds are a fruit of God's Spirit for people that are in need. When someone needs money, a homeless person, and you know you can help, he give them money. Right? Even people that you think that, oh, this person needs my money, but the person might abuse my money. No, I wouldn't think that. If you abuse the money, that shows bad about your character. But my own character is to give. Amen? That's my own character, to give. So now, that is not an evangelistic strategy. It's not to win souls. Else, you will find out that the person only follows what you gave them, that is the food, not your doctrine. So if you want to win a soul, you must preach the gospel. But you might ask a question, how about if someone is so hungry and desperately in need of food? Do I need to first preach the gospel to them? Hey, Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but that which I have, I will give. So that means if he had silver and gold, he would have given him, right? If he had money at that point, he would have given him. So there's nothing wrong in giving him. However, it's not your strategy. Don't say, we'll just, you know, as believers, let's just share food. Let's not evangelize. When we've shared food, then we will not preach. No, that's, you know, if you want to share food because you want to help people. But you see, that which you have, you must give. And that is in the name of Jesus. Amen. So Jesus then said, so they asked Jesus, where is that bread? Where is that bread? Give us that bread. But Jesus said in verse 32, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. This is a poor translation, by the way. It didn't say Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven. It says, the bread that Moses gave you is not the heavenly bread. He didn't give you the bread that came from heaven. That is, the bread that he gave you was not the heavenly bread. It's the earthly bread. That is why you could eat it physically. That's what he meant. So Moses didn't give you the heavenly bread. That's a better translation. But my father gives you the true heavenly bread. He then says in verse 33, for the bread of God, which comes from heaven and giveth life to the world. The bread is life. Look at 34. Then they said unto him, Lord, give us this bread. That's what they are for. Right? Give us this. If you're Nigerian, suya. Right? Suya is it goat meat? That's goat meat, right? You know, I don't partake in all these worldly things. Hallelujah. I don't really mind the things of this world. So, what do we have? Let's just say, give us what now? For those of you that like chocolates, we just want ice cream, you know, drinks. Let's just have a party. Give us what you are looking for. But then Jesus is saying something here. He said, I am that ice cream. I am that chocolate. I am that suya. I am that, you know, chicken nuggets, hamburger, right? Amen. I am that meal. Wait, you're trying to say you are a meal? No, I didn't say I am a meal. I said I am the heavenly meal. That's what he meant. So he said, I am that bread. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So you see the problem here. Look at verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will certainly not cast out. All right. Now let's just scroll down to verse 46. Oh, verse 47. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and they are dead. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, that any man that eats thereof, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eats of this bread, he shall live forever. So Jesus is speaking about eternal life in him. And the bread which I give is my flesh, which I give and which I will give for the life of this world. Then the Jews quarreled amongst themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So they have a misunderstanding about what Jesus is saying here. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except that you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Please follow. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed. That is the true meat. That word by indeed is the true meat. My flesh is the true meat, and my blood is the true drink. Verse 56. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, he shall live because of me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, and he that eateth this bread shall live forever. Now, please just follow. We're almost getting somewhere. This thing said he in synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. So then you find out in verse 61, when Jesus knew himself that his disciples murmured, he said unto them, does this offend you? So what is happening here is that if you notice, when Jesus gave them bread, they did not complain. Right? Philanthropy is good. When you use entertainment, people won't complain. But then Jesus begins to give them an exclusive gospel. Say, unless you eat the true bread, which is me, you do not have life in you. They got offended because they were not there because of his word. They were there because of the things that they wanted. The flesh. The flesh. It says, in then look at verse 62. What if you see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It says, it is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are what? Spiritual, and they are the life. So if someone wants to get converted, would they hear your, is it by philanthropy or entertainment or by the words, which is life? The words. How would Jesus find out those who are really following him for his word, or those who would truly believe in him for his word? By teaching, not by philanthropy and entertainment. So you actually set yourself up when you use something else than what God has given to you. Even Jesus said, look at verse. Look at John chapter 7. Look at John chapter 7 verse 16. Look at John chapter 7, verse 16. Jesus answered and said unto them, my doctrine. When he says doctrine, my teaching, my mode of teaching, my style of evangelism, he says, it's not my own. He says, but it is his that sent me. So even Jesus did not do what he wanted to do. He did what the Father asked him to do. That is why he then tells you, go and do what I commanded you. Look at verse 19. Jesus then said, did Moses not give you the law? That is the same conversation. Moses gave you the law, right? You believe in Moses' writings, believe in his doctrines, you believe in his instructions, right? He says, and yet none of you are following his instructions. Then why do you want to kill me? Because if you had followed his instructions, you would not hate me for what I said. Because what I'm teaching is not mine, it's God's. And what he refers to as God's is Moses' doctrines. So why would people leave Jesus? Because they never followed him. They never followed God. They never wanted God. What they wanted was their flesh, their desires to be assuaged. They wanted to feel entertained. Amen. Praise God. So you see, that's God's word. That's God's word. Oh, I need to upgrade this. I need to upgrade this. We have 10 minutes again. Hallelujah. So you see, that's God's word. That's God's word. Praise God. That's God's word. Look at something. Look at Acts chapter 3, verse 22. Quickly, we have to see how we can wrap up this. Acts chapter 3, verse 22. We are asked to follow the temperance of Jesus. And Jesus, now, next week, we're going to be going to, like, you know, the evangelism and all of that stuff. You know, the abilities, you know, the abilities, what you can do as an evangelist, what you can do, how to evangelize the gospel with the abilities of God. Look at Acts chapter 3, verse 22. Now, this is God's word, where Peter is speaking. He says in verse 19, "Repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come and the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive, until the restitution or restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began." Verse 22, "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet," now he's referring to Jesus, "shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me," that's referring to Moses now, "him shall you hear in all things, and whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which hear not the prophet, he shall be destroyed from amongst the people." If that's quoting Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15 and 18. Okay, Moses prophesied about Jesus the prophet. Now, we know Jesus is a prophet, but he's not just a prophet. Amen? So, Jesus is that prophet that whatever he says, anyone that does not follow him will be destroyed. That's what it is. So we don't do what we want to do. We don't innovate. Someone say, you need to go in tune with the times. No, not when it comes to God's word. God's word is everlasting. He says, this is everlasting word that when you eat of it, you will live forever. So you can't change something that is everlasting to become temporal. It is everlastingly God's word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Gabadahu. So I will go with God's power. I won't substitute it for flimsy things, ephemerals, you know, dance nights. Let's do dance night, and then you try and say, if you want to give your life to Christ, come. No, dear. If you want to preach, go with power. There's miracles, there's signs and wonders, gifts of the Spirit. When you show them things, when you pray for 12 hours and you go out and evangelize, when you speak one like this, they will open their ears, because it's the Spirit of God that's coming out of you. It's God's life that is released. You know, we often erroneously sing a song that says, "Out of my belly shall flow rivers, rivers of living water." Yeah, I don't know what that. I don't know what it means. Me, that probably requires interpretation. I don't know what it is. But anyways, you discover that the belly of Christ is not our belly, it's not mouth, but it's the Spirit Himself. Right? Out of your belly. So but you see that the belly there refers to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. So we have an ability to release God's power when we speak words, the words of his life. Hallelujah. Amen. So say, are you serious? Yeah. Amen, amen, amen. I think we should look at that a little bit. Just, I think, beginning of next week's teaching, I'll just help us understand certain things on that regard. Amen. Amen. So we'll go with God's word. Hallelujah. We go with God's word. Amen. We go with God's word. Go with God's power. And we'll see souls that are genuinely saved. Souls that are genuinely saved. So that you don't work in vain. You don't do excellently what God never asked you to do at all. We are closing now. We don't do excellently what God did not ask you or ask us to do at all. Don't waste your time. Utilize your time doing the will of God. Amen. Hallelujah. That is God's word for us. You know? You go with God's word. What is more potent is the gospel. Scriptures, Romans 1 verse 16. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel, the message, the word of reconciliation is the power of God unto salvation." So if a man hears something else, he's not saved. I don't care the kind of tongues he's speaking. He's not saved. some people who are in church are not saved. Now, we have people, now don't get me wrong, there are people who are saved, but they are not taking roots in Christ. Some people are just not saved. But you see, then they're speaking in tongues. Someone say, can someone speak in tongues and not be saved? It's very possible, but it's not the tongues that is new. Amen. I think when we are talking about something around along those lines, we're going to address that. You know, so that's why you see an atheist say, I can speak in tongues now. It's not just to say rabba 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 dege dege. It's not tongues. That's not tongues. Tongues is not gibberish. Hallelujah. Amen. It's spiritual. It's communication by the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. That your mouth is stammering. It's just an expression of it. It's not the tongues itself. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you are speaking. You can even be a choir master. You're not born again. Amen. 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 So we go with the abilities of God's Spirit. We are born of God, used of God by His own abilities, because it's Him that is able to save. Amen. I says, I will bring them out. Don't be more powerful than God. Trying to use gimmicks. Some people do ministry. Eh? Some people do ministry like it's a business. As if they are doing their company. I see. It is well. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. We give you praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we just pray that you would help us to know what you've asked us to do and to do it, and to not be defeated, not to be ashamed or to be weak, but to be strengthened and to be emboldened with revelation that's found in your word. Help us to understand deeper this word that has been spoken, even myself, to follow it. Even when I have the ability, the power, the command to go against your will, help us to remain in your will. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope you guys are blessed. If you have a question, because of our time, just message me on privately. I will see you guys again. Now, on Saturday, we're seeing again. However, from Saturday, I will give us an announcement on how we're going to be running our prayers. Please note that, right? We're going to be running our prayers. Just see how we can be meeting to pray. Just, you know, it's so important. And I told us, like I said,